Welkom bij de podcast van Hour of Power Nederland. Je gaat nu luisteren naar de boodschap van Bobby Schuller. De boodschap is in het Engels. Liever met Nederlandse ondertiteling erbij? Bekijk dan de uitzending op hourofpower.nl of op ons YouTube kanaal.
Today we want to talk about the importance of hearing God's voice. The main thing I want to accomplish today for every person is to demystify this idea that hearing God's voice is something that it's only for special people or for pastors or prophets or even that it's a weird thing. In fact, I know probably everybody in this room has heard God's voice, even though they may not know it. When you say you hear God's voice, it's like inspiration on steroids. It's like God stamped something on your heart. And we'll talk about that. But I want to be careful here because I borderline idolized my grandpa, the founder of the Crystal Cathedral. Important minister in his day had such a huge impact. And so I just want to share my experience. This is not a dig on him at all. When I was a kid, I got into art in like third or fourth grade. I just loved it. I made this clay dragon that I was really proud of. I spent a lot of time on it, and I used what I thought was really creative, a dark shoe polish to give it that dragon-y kind of purple color. I was going for sort of a Puff the Magic Dragon kind of look. And I loved this dragon, and I submitted it to the Orange County Fair. My teacher suggested it. And I got first prize for my grade, which was, for me, it was just a great feeling, to just work on this thing and then submit it and then win. I was like, oh, I didn't think I would win, And I felt over the moon. And as like a 9-year-old or 10-year-old, whatever it was, I decided in that moment I was going to switch from whatever I was going to be when I was going to grow up. I was going to be an artist, and I was really excited about this. I wasn't sure what kind of an artist. Maybe it would be clay, and I had all these, dreams about becoming an artist. Now, my grandpa, I think back in the day, my grandpa asked me once, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said something like, I want to be a minister like you. And of course, he loved that, and so this became like our tradition. I have his same name, by the way. You might may or may not know my real name is Robert. I'm Robert Schuller III. And so whenever he would see me, he would always say, Robert Schuller, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I would say, I want to be a minister. And he would, pat me on the head. And this was like our tradition. And this time my grandpa said, Bobby, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, I want to be an artist. And now, again, I really want to be careful here because my grandpa was great. I don't think he meant any harm by this at all. But a lot of it's his generation. Boys, when he's seeing me, he's seeing a future man. And men provide for their families. Men pay the bills. Men work hard. So a man saying, I'm going to be an artist, is like, not my grandson. And his response was kind of like, not mean at all, but kind of like, well, and it was just, we'd start talking about other things and he'd come back to the art thing where he'd be like, artists can't really, they really struggle a lot, to pay the bills and da 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 and this kind of thing. And this was the first time I got this feeling of, oh, do I have to be a minister? Like, do I have a choice? To make things worse, again, in the 80s, my grandpa was at an all-time high. He was friends with Mikhail Gorbachev and Arnold Schwarzenegger and rubbing elbows with presidents. He was on the news all the time. He was on Larry King. He was just famous, especially in Southern California, very famous. So whenever I had a new class or was on a sports team or went to a camp or any kind of kids event where they call your formal name in a roll call, Jane Smith, John Doe, Robert Schuller, here. And they always ask the same two questions. Any relation? Yeah, that's my grandpa. And then the second one. Are you going to be a minister when you grow up? My whole life. Any relation? Are you going to be a minister? Any relation? Are you going to be a minister? And over time, it went from, I might be an artist. Well, you should be a minister. Well, I don't know. I'm only 9. It's kind of like over time, it really, kind of like calcified. And as I became a teenager, there really were, you know, a couple years where we were not going to church. I was not into church or the Bible, or none of my friends really were Christians. Our family would have been Christian, but I didn't really, it wasn't my thing. I mean, I for sure wasn't going to be a minister. And I got to the point where people would ask me that, and I'm like, never, I'm never going to do that. And I remember once, after being in, you know, this kind of revised heart for God phase of my life, about a year after that, I was at an event called Choir of the Fire, which is like a teen event. It's like a worship event where they really encourage kids to have quiet times in the morning and have like a revival kind of spirit. And we were in this worship time, and this was the first time I really felt like God spoke to me. We were praying, and I was worshiping, and it felt like God said to me, "Bobby, go on your knees and worship me." And I didn't really do it because I thought, well, that's a little extreme and kind of weird. I'm not going to do that. And then I felt it again, "Bobby, get on your knees and worship me." And I still didn't do it. And then the third time, almost like I was going away, I was like, "Bobby, get on your knees and worship me." And I did. And I was scared that I was going to miss out on something. And so I started worshiping God. And all of these teenagers began praying for me. And I actually felt physically like God broke something in my will, in my heart. That all of my resentment towards feeling, like if you know my personality, feeling controlled at all is repulsive to me. I'm a free bird, man. I like to do things my way. And so letting go of this really ice-cold resentment I had towards feeling controlled in my life, God totally broke it in my heart. And I began doing, you know, mission trips like Hannah did, humanitarian trips, and just trying to serve more and not being about me as much. And that's why it truly is a miracle, not only that I'm in ministry, but that I took over my grandpa's church. If you know my soul and my mind, it's actually crazy that I'm even here. And it's 100%, I think, in large part, because of this one prayer event. So doing that, just submitting to God, it just broke something in me in a really good way. He'll do that to you because you're his daughter or his son. It has nothing to do with your office. It has everything to do with the fact that he loves you and he wants to play a role in your life and get you to good places. So God speaks today, and God likes to speak to you. And it is on us to learn how to hear God's voice. We know that it's God's voice if it's not my idea, if it's a eureka, wow, I would have never thought of something like that. And if it bears good fruit, and if it aligns with Scripture, if it's those things, it's probably God speaking to you and giving you a special kind of revelation. Of course, Jesus teaches us in many of his sermons to hear the voice of the shepherd, to hear the rhema, the spoken voice of God. In John 15, he says, "Anyone who abides in me and my words, my rhema, abides in them," meaning they hear my spoken voice, "they'll ask whatever they want from me, and it will be given to them." He talks about how the sheep know the voice of their shepherd. In fact, that's the passage we're reading today, John chapter 10. Before I read John chapter 10, this comes on the heels of a really important story of the famous healing of the blind man. It's not just any blind man, it's a John 9 blind man. This guy had been cast out of the synagogue, and he had been called a sinner. And the evidence that he was a sinner was because he was blind. So he had been taught that the reason he was blind, it was God cursing him for some sin, either from him or his parents. So not only was he couldn't see and couldn't work, they didn't have any, like, you know, welfare or something for blind people back then. He just had to beg. But also he had a sense of shame about being there. So it was like a double curse, you see? So they ask him, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind?" Jesus says, "Neither." This happened so God's life could be revealed in him. And so Jesus, on the Sabbath, does two things you're not supposed to do according to oral tradition. Now, the Bible doesn't say this. The Bible says you shall honor the Sabbath. But the oral tradition says, well, what does that mean to honor the Sabbath? And a couple of things you're not supposed to do is spit. Can't spit on the Sabbath because spit rolls and that looks like work. And you can't make mud on the Sabbath because that's like what the Jews did when they were in captivity making bricks. And so Jesus spits on the ground making mud So not only is he healing on the Sabbath, he really wants the Pharisees to see that he's defying the oral tradition. He wants them to see outright that it's better to defy oral tradition to help someone. And he does. So he heals the man. And this creates a huge dilemma in the synagogue where the Pharisees are like, this man's from God. We have to rethink our oral tradition. And the others were like, no, the most important thing is to honor the Sabbath. The only way he can do a miracle and sin is he has to be from Satan. And this is the debate that that's going on. And the guy that's just been healed is watching this circus and is thinking, this is the most plain thing ever. A man healed me. He's from God. Like, how can you even debate this? And by the end, the tables turn where the elitist religious leaders, you see them as being like kind of fools. They're like people that they've studied the Bible and they know everything and they just clearly don't even know God at all. And they're cursing this guy for being healed on the Sabbath. And at the end, Jesus finally says, those who are blind will see. So he's talking about spiritual vision now. And those who see, that is the Pharisees, will become blind. How are they blind? They get blinded by tradition. They get blinded when they've sorted everything out. They've already laid it all out. And they can't clearly see that God just likes to break our rules sometimes. And we don't control God. And he can use whoever he wants. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. He's God. And we can't figure him out, really. You just got to trust him. So this comes on the heels of that. So Jesus, at the very end of that, says, Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter through the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. So this is him saying he's not sent from Satan, but that he's the shepherd itself. And he says, the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep, he being the shepherd, Jesus. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Because they know his voice. They know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Clearly, it is important for us as disciples to do what Jesus is saying here. To hear his voice. I remember Ray Vangelin, who was a great biblical scholar and lived with the Bedouins for a long time in his younger years, told a story about wandering the desert with Bedouin shepherds. Now, most shepherds throughout history and still today are not men, they're teenage girls. I think I've relished telling you this a million times. It's one of my favorite things. That when you read about shepherds in the Bible, picture a 15-year-old girl, okay? Or a 12-year-old boy. So prepubescent boy or like a teenage girl. And as he's wandering around the desert, these girls are either driving goats or the sheep. You know, you drive goats, they go in front of you. Or you walk in front of sheep, they follow you. And so the shepherd girl was with these sheep and they went to the desert. And she saw some of her friends who were other shepherds. And in this pasture, all the sheep mixed together. And there were three or four shepherds with three or four different flocks. And as the girls started chatting to each other and telling stories and talking about this or that and whatever, he was wondering, as all of these sheep started mixing and matching, how are they going to fix this? How are they going to unmix all of these sheep that are hanging out with each other? And then he marveled when they were all done and all four girls went in four different directions. They all started shouting at their sheep in Arabic. He also remarked at how good the Arabic was of the sheep. That was a surprise. How all the sheep split up perfectly into the four proper groups. They knew their voices. So that when this one went, all the sheep, and they all looked the same, but the shepherds knew, and it all unmixed itself because all the sheep knew the proper voice of the shepherd girl that they needed to follow. This is what Jesus teaches us that discipleship is supposed to be like. That although there's a lot of noise and voices, we know, we have spiritual ears, and we know what the voice of the shepherd sounds like. All right. So I'll just finish with this. So three things. Number one, when God speaks to us, it's not paranoid schizophrenia. You're not usually hearing an actual audible voice. God speaks in knowledge, like a stamp. Boom. You just know. God has a language. It's not English. It's knowledge. Boom. Just, I know it. And I believe that it has a level of intensity. I think sometimes God speaks to us just through inspiration. We just feel inspired. I think God speaks to non-religious, non-believing people all the time. You know the story about Balaam's donkey, where Balaam turns and speaks to Balaam? Well, one thing we forget is that Balaam was a witch. He was like a soothsayer who was not Jewish or even good. He was like a kind of a bad guy, but had a regular conversation with God all the time. Now, God is sovereign. He can speak to whomever he wants, whenever he wants, and I think sometimes he will just speak to people because he wants to, and that's okay. Satan's called the accuser of the brethren. You know, God's not the accuser. Satan loves to just accuse and deceive. You have no power. God didn't speak to you. God didn't call you. You're a loser. You're stupid. You're this. You're that. You know, that is Satan, actually. And he's trying to cripple the seed that God's put in your heart. But if it is, you know, in alignments with the scripture, if it is inspirational, like out of the blue, like something I never would have thought of, I think that's from God. Like if it just comes like lightning, and I wasn't even, especially if you weren't even thinking about it, just out of nowhere, it's like, bam, this thing hits you, I think that's the Lord. And the more you do, the more you discern these three things, the more it'll be like talking on a cell phone where God can inspire you or impress upon you important things in life. And there will be key moments, once every couple years maybe, where, or maybe every day, depending. But, you know, where God really can move on you in these ways becomes a very powerful thing. Last footnote, you can't hear God's voice if you don't listen. And I think that boredom is the greatest barrier between you and the spiritual life. So many of us have become so non-tolerant of boredom. We can't sit quietly and meditate anymore. It's always reaching for a cell phone or a book or a journal. There's something about all of those distractions and needing to check my Instagram and my whatever that are hindering your ability, probably, for many of us, to hear God's voice and hindering us from creating some of the best stuff we've ever done. All right, Father, we thank you that you speak today, that you want to speak to us. So we open our hearts and we say we're willing. It's possible, at the very least, that you could speak to your sons and daughters. So we ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to speak to us. We thank you that you love us, that you've forgiven us, that you've called us and renewed us. We trust you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bedankt voor het luisteren naar de podcast van deze week. We hopen dat deze boodschap jou heeft bemoedigd. Wil je meer weten over Hour of Power of dagelijkse bemoedigingen ontvangen? Ga dan naar www.hourofpower.nl.